For the call, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Don from Brexhill. Hi, guys. Hi, everybody.
Good evening, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
And more people have joined. Please say your name and location.
Dan in Columbus. Hi, hi. Hi, everyone.
Hey, call. Good evening, everybody. Please say your name and location.
Oh, cool. Hi, this is Cindy in Peoria. How are you?
Hi, Cindy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
This is Mac from Utah.
Good evening, Mac. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
I welcome those who just joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, good evening. Hi, it's Joel in Chicago.
Hi, Joel. Welcome to the call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. And we're live on BBS Radio. Thank you all for those who joined in over the internet. And yes, we're right on the clock, 6 o'clock, and it's waiting for...
Is Terry on the line?
He's not here yet, no. And I welcome the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Susan in Michigan.
Hi, Susan. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
So, let me see. I scared all these people away.
We're trying to be good.
You are.
Quietest I've ever heard this line, really.
Everybody's probably pantomiming.
Daphne? Daphne?
I'm here.
You don't have a good joke for us, do you?
Hey, Daphne?
I'm kidding.
Oh, no jokes in the moment. Sorry about that.
Hang on,
let me first welcome those who just joined in. Thank you for being here. If you want to say your name. Good evening, the next caller. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it.
Hello,
this is
Edna
from Cincinnati.
Hi, Edna. Good evening. Welcome to the call. And who is that from Cincinnati?
Peg.
Hi, Peg. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good evening, call. Please say your name and location.
Oh, hi, it's Tammy from Playa del Rey.
Hi, Tammy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thanks for being.
Someone close to me, finally.
Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. And I welcome to the next person. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Morgan in California.
Hey, Morgan. Good evening, and welcome to the call.
Thank you very much. Love to all.
All right.
Okay, be well. How is our dear Carla doing? Is she holding her own, I hope?
I don't have the latest news on Carla.
Okay, even today is fine. I understand from my angel connection that the surgery was done correctly. And it will just take a little time to get her up on her feet or sitting. So that'll be great.
All right, great. That's good news. I welcome the next.
I forwarded an email earlier today, and it was good news.
Excellent.
I'm sure he'll update.
Excellent.
Great. I haven't seen that yet. Yeah. I welcome the person who just came in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Ron in Mountain Grove, Missouri.
Yeah, hi, Ron. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, Ron.
Hi.
It's Morgan. How you doing?
Hey, Morgan. You sound a little better.
Yep. Yep. That was a temporary thing. Yeah.
She's trying to get on the call right
now. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Terry. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hi. Good evening.
Okay, she's on the call.
Good evening.
All right. I hear Terry's on. We're gonna mute everybody. Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Daphne, are you there?
Hold on, Daphne was not the moderator. Let me.
No. Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to unmute people in just a moment so she can participate.
This conference is being recorded.
This is April 29th, 2013. Winfrey in Sedona. Terry Brown in Sedona. Daphne is in Carondanas in Half Moon Bay. And this is our Monday night call. And we pick topics. Hi, do you want to mute everybody, all those phones?
Thank you. Got it.
And somebody asked me a couple of days ago, they sent me an email, and they said, what do you mean by catalyzation? And, you know, I use that word somewhat often. I do have a process about what it means, and I think it's important. And I thought it might be helpful for all of you to understand what I mean by catalyzation. And I thought I would just, before I go into that, I thought I'd open the lines and see if you can keep an eye on things. So if anyone's got too much noise, we can mute them.
Right.
But I'll open the lines and just see if anyone wants to volunteer what that word means to them. Okay? So just a moment. I'm unmuted and we are unmuted. Anyone want to put their foot in their mouth or share some wisdom with us?
What was the word again?
The word is catalyzation.
Catalyzation.
And it doesn't
mean something that either instigates or enables change.
Uh-huh. Who is that? Is that Don?
It is.
Okay, Don. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry.
I'm here.
What do you think, catalyzation? What does the word catalyzation mean to you?
It means you upset the other person. And hopefully they will get an idea to, how they can grow from it.
What was the first thing you said? I missed the word. You do what to the other person?
You upset the other person.
You upset the other person. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
It could also mean magically changing a horse into a cow.
Changing a horse into a cow.
Right.
Anyone else have an idea about that?
Let's change a lump of coal into a diamond instead.
Okay. Now, who is that? That's a familiar voice. Daphne, are you there? Maybe you can tell me not to call on you if you want. But I thought it would be good to have you express your idea for the word catalyzation.
Get
closer to the microphone. We can't hear you. Daphne, we can't hear you. Daphne, can you hear me?
We can't hear you, Daphne.
Can you hear me now?
No.
I'm speaking loudly. Can you hear me now?
No, you're just coming in better.
Let me mute the line. Oh, hold on now, Daphne. Let me unmute you, Daphne. Hold on. Okay. Go ahead, Daphne.
Yes, what I was saying is catalyzation has to do with the dissonance of frequencies. There's a saying about grist for the mill, karmic grist for the mill. It has to do with the introduction of elements into the realm of experience, which...
Introduction Introduction of what into the realm of experience? I missed that word.
Introduction of forces into the realm of experience, which make things move. They make things move either one way or another way. And you've heard of the term catalytic converter. I mean, either used in cars, or they used to be used in cars a long time ago. But catalyzing one's experience means introducing elements, circumstances, vibrational arenas which are dissonant, which are at unharmony with the place that a person is experiencing or used to experiencing, and thereby it is forcing change. Change is not necessarily growth. The person can be negatively catalyzed. So one must be. Not all catalyzation is positive. Not all catalyzation is growthful. And in fact, one must choose one. And Yogananda always said that environment is stronger than willpower. One must choose one's environment very carefully. You want to keep as clear a vibrational space around yourself as possible at all times, because human nature being what it will, people will tend to resonate at the lowest common denominator. And
okay, thank you. Let's see if I'm going to mute everybody again. Anyone else want to say something? Here's a good question. Those of you who have been coming into these calls over a period of time, have you felt that the word catalyzation would relate to an experience you've had while you're coming into these calls or provoked by the calls? Let's see if anyone wants to answer that.
Could I say something?
Yeah, is that Marilyn?
Yes.
Yeah,
the word catalyzation to me is very harsh, and I would not say that anything I've experienced with this group or through Wynn has been harsh. It's all been an easy flow.
Okay. I don't think catalyzation necessarily has to be harsh, but maybe that's what's the idea of when you talk about language, that is maybe many people, semantics, people relate that to the word. Anyone else want to make a comment on that comment that I made about catalyzation on the call or in your life as a result of the call?
You know, it's kind of hard to answer that question, not really, not really knowing what catalyzation means.
Well, I think when it's spiritual, I mean, I think for myself, the Creator God of the universe reading that was one of those things that was a catalyst, which helped draw things in and make it more understandable with regards from a process of already going through the law of one. You know, 1, 2, 5, and then reading that is the catalyst in order to drive the energy in a positive way.
Thank you, Joel. You're kind of fading out, but I think we got what you said. Well, you know what? Let me go into talking about my idea of that word and how it applies, and then see, maybe open it up for a discussion again and see what you all think, if it looks different. You know, every one of us thinks that who we are right now is who we are. It feels like how it feels to be you. You're inside your body. You have the experience of your emotions. You have your experience of your friends, if you have any. You have the experience of your neighborhood. And each of us is in a reality system. And yet, every one of us has a different reality system. In spite of the fact that we're all on these calls, we're all listening to these words, we all have different reality systems. And sometimes when we start to talk to each other, those of us that are on this call, and you think, wow, I'm really going to get understanding, and you suddenly find that person doesn't understand you at all, or you don't understand them at all. That's not always the case, but it can very likely be the case, because even though we're on this call, every one of us has a different reality system. And I would say that all reality systems are not equal, that reality systems tap into this greater hologram. And so each of us is expanded into the hologram of the universe at a different level of expansion. And so we can't see that. But when you start talking to someone, if you're at a higher level of expansion into the universe, and higher doesn't mean better, it doesn't mean controlling, it just means maybe you've had more lifetimes in this realm. It means maybe you came from an angelic place. If you're at a higher place of expansion into the universe, then if you're talking to somebody at a more contracted level of expansion, then they're not going to understand you, because they can't understand you at their level of contraction. So either one of the following has to happen. You have to contract so you can match them so that communication is possible, or they have to expand so that they can match you so that communication is possible. Now, the first one, it's always possible to do. It's always possible for a person at a higher level of expansion to contract to a person at a more contracted space. It's not always possible for a person who's more contracted to expand into the space of a higher expansion, because they don't know how to do that. The person at the higher expansion, by the way I'm looking at it, has been there and done that. They have experienced the other person's way of being in another lifetime or past lifetime or this lifetime. Nonetheless, it's part of their experience. But the person at the smaller level of contraction may not have experienced the person at the larger contraction. Now, actually, they actually may have experienced it in another lifetime, and then they've contracted again. And if that's the case, if they had experienced it, it's fairly easy for the person at the larger expansion to trigger the other person into a larger expansion, because the person already has it, the cellular memory. But if they haven't experienced it, it's very difficult. And that is when this principle of catalyzation comes in, and can actually come in both situations. So there's actually the third possibility, is that it's impossible to connect. And people walk away and they say, this isn't going to work. Because the guy at the higher level of expansion, the person, when he contracts to the other person, he can do it, but he feels like he's not being authentic. And it gets boring very quickly. And the person at the contracted space tries to expand, and they can't do it. And they feel misunderstood, so the people decide to walk away. And how does that relate to this work? Well, in this work, I have this idea that we are learning to connect with these energies of Source, of Elohim, of Ra, that are extremely expanded in the universe, and that almost none of us are really ready for that level of expansion. What happens is, when it's presented to you or to someone, is immediately a similar kind of dance that goes on, just as when a person at a larger level of expansion starts to communicate with a person at a smaller level of expansion. And of course, we're the guys with the smaller level of expansion, and they're the ones with the larger expansion. And so, in order for communication to occur, on some level, they have to come to our level. But they can't stay here because it gets boring. They're not interested in doing this. We have to go to their level, in which case, we can't stay there, or we leave the body. And so we have a series of meetings and coming and going where slowly but surely, over the reinforcement of it, we learn to expand into a larger frame of reality. And that's my idea of it. And so on these calls, in the reiteration of the calls, there is that opportunity to expand. Now, not everybody wants to expand. Not everybody knows that expansion is possible. And they'll come into the call and keep trying to fit the call and what happens here into a contracted matrix, and it doesn't seem to fit. And they can get upset because in order to expand into a higher matrix, we have to let something go. If we don't let it go, we can't expand. What do we have to let go? For everybody, it's something different. That process of letting go of something, it can be painful. It can be hurtful. And that, I would call that catalyzation. That's one kind of catalyzation. Catalyzation of letting go of something you're attached to that has been part of your reality system for many years and perhaps many lifetimes. And all of this doesn't happen at a conscious level. In other words, you can't consciously say to yourself, I'm going to let go of this, because that doesn't work. It happens below the level of consciousness, and it happens, or it doesn't happen. Years ago, I read a book, which I can't remember the name of it, and the fellow that wrote the book, who I also can't remember, was talking about the dark night of the soul, and he was talking about the Christ consciousness. And from his point of view, he was saying no one will go through the catalyzation required to get to the Christ consciousness unless their back is against the wall. Because to move through where you are to the Christ consciousness, we could say experientially the law of one could be the Christ consciousness. Experientially being able to see everyone as part of yourself. Experientially experiencing you are your brother's keeper, and that you are not just your body. Those are ideas. But how do you experience that? How do you move into the experience of that? Well, moving into the experience of that is letting go of the thing things that are in the way, letting go of the contraction. And mystical Catholicism has a word for that letting go, at least this is how I interpret it, and it's called the dark night of the soul. Going through the dark night of the soul. Because when things start to catalyze, they come up in you as feelings that are uncomfortable. It comes up as pain. And that when you read people who talk about this, they would say that the pain comes up, and you have to experience that pain in order to release it. And so if you have things in your track, in your past lives, in this life, that have crystallized certain kinds of painful traumas, fears, relationships with women in a certain way, if it's crystallized that, then on some level, if you're going to move from a more contracted space to a more expanded space, and even hopefully into the Christed energies, then you have to travel through all those things that have created, the word our sources use is miasms, or little energy crunches where something is tied up in knots in you and you don't even know it's tied up in knots because you've lived with it all your life. And so it feels like that's you. I know when I was young, I had that very specific experience because I grew up with a father that was very oppressive. And I had learned at one point that he had killed me in another life and that he was not that happy to see me this life. But because he killed me, I had the option. It wasn't his choice. Apparently, I had the option to take a life through this family because he had a karmic debt that I could play the card and I would be born through this family. And I had reasons to want to be born through this family. But I don't think on the other side I understood how painful it was going to be for me because it was as if he was still killing me as I was growing up. And he didn't kill me physically, but he killed me psychically. He made me feel worthless. He made me feel like I had to defend myself. And my shoulders got incredibly tight. My chest got incredibly tight. And I didn't know that was because of him. I thought that's how it felt to be me. And I walked around feeling all those feelings for quite a few years. And when I had this reading where I learned that he had killed me, and I was sure the reading was right, there were other corroborating things, it made sense. It started to put me on this process of forgiving my father, forgiving everything, and also realizing that I had chosen to come into this family, even though it was going to be painful, because for whatever reason, I wanted to be born in the location, something that this family could provide me. So, but then, because I made that choice, this is me reviewing it and looking back on it, and then I found out and learned the reason for it, it still took me quite a bit of years, at least a few years, to release the energy inside myself. I think I could do it a lot faster now because I'm wiser now. But at that time, I wasn't. And I had to surface this rejection over and over again inside myself. And every time it would come up, I'd have to look at it and say, that's not me. That's the pattern my father put into me, and he didn't even do it intentionally. This is all written in karmic energy fields. And so it was like just I chose to come through their family. Coming through their family, I think, this is my take. Some people might not look at it this way, but coming through that family was going to cause me certain grief. And if I chose a different family, that grief wouldn't be there. But I had a reason to choose this particular family. And so this was the releasing of all of this hurt for me was a constant catalyzation for a couple of years. And that doesn't mean you need to have that kind of catalyzation. But when uncomfortable things come up, it's a good thing to run it by your mind to say, is this something that's catalyzing me, or is this something that I should run away from? Because it's not easy to tell the difference. Oftentimes, when something is triggering an old pattern in you, and relationships are the best example of this, whoever you're in a relationship with is a master at triggering your patterns, and vice versa. And when they trigger your patterns, it always looks like they're doing it to you, okay? They're causing that to happen. And, I'm sure, I suspect many of you have had that experience where somebody was doing something to you, and then you had to get away and you left them. You brought another person in that did the same thing, and then you brought another person in that did the same thing. And, of course, that's a sign that it's a pattern that's trying to work through in you. So if you're in a relationship and that's happening, can you turn it around and look at it and say, what's the pattern that I'm supposed to work through with regards to this relationship? So that is the value of understanding catalyzation is the value of facing situations that can be painful and that are part of processing that can release through you. Now, I thought I'd give Terry and Daphne a chance to share their experiences with this. I know that Daphne talks about this a lot. I mean, she'll use the word processing. And to me, processing means releasing stuff. And it's amazing how much one, it would seem as if you could just go click, okay, gone, and yet it is gone for a moment. You have that moment of clarity, you have that moment of peace, and you say, wow, this feels really good. And before you know it, the next day or the day after, it's come back again. So let me start out with Terry, if she wants to share anything on this idea of catalyzation that I just talked about.
Well, one of the things that I notice is when I get, like, I'll be right up against my limitations, and I can't see my way through it, and then it gets really really hard, and then oftentimes I'll make a breakthrough later. And stuff will, like, and then things will get easier than they were even before. So that's my experience of it. And it can be something that life throws up at you or me, and it can be somebody trying to get some across. And then my old
patterns come up and I misunderstand what they're saying. Like, you know, instead of realizing that they're saying, well, hey, communicate, you're in the middle of something. I think that they're saying, work harder, get more done. You know, so I don't say anything and then...
You're not talking about me. Really are you talking about me? Should I take
yeah.
that personally? Okay, I'm just checking. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's about it, you know, I mean.
All right. You know,
I know, my parents, like, they brought me right up against my limitations. I mean, and I had to find, I had to kind of go outside of my limitations to be able to respond to life with them.
Mm-hmm. All right. You know, if you notice, one of the great things about these calls is this quality of transparency, where we're really not teaching anybody anything. We're learning as we go, and everyone is just being who they are. And it kind of sets an example that you can be who you are. And because you can. Not everywhere. You can't be who you are everywhere, because in the real world, you have to look like something. You have to have an image that you project. And of course, people don't ever want to see your pain or your suffering, because if they did, my God, no one would like you. So you have to hold that in and keep a good image going. But what happens is, that's why people get stuck and they don't grow. Because the way the world works is you can't release things. You have to look good. And I always try to look good. And the strange phenomena about it is that almost everybody can see through everybody. But it's not polite to notice. So we're busy looking good and other people can see through us. I mean, I get emails from people and you know, they say, Wynn, we could feel you were tired or you were grumpy that day. And, you know, I can't hide. I'm on these calls, and whoever I am is here. And there are days that I still endure. I still do, I hope I do an okay job. But I am tired, or I resist coming into 3 calls a week, and yet I know how important this is. So I do it. And, you know, Daphne, are you there?
No, she dropped out, Ben.
She dropped out. All right. God, I was hoping she would be sharing for this, because this is a good topic for her. Let me open it up and see if anyone else wants to share some of their experience with this idea, if they relate to it, if they understand it, if they had an experience where they went through a lot of negative stuff inside themselves and they got to the other side of it. Or do you have the experience of going through stuff and think you're a victim of someone else? Just curious what you think. All right. Well, lines are open.
When?
I hear you.
Hi, it's Lisa. I was wondering if the book we were talking about before is Care of the Soul.
Wait a second. Wait a second. Let me mute some of these people, Lisa.
Okay.
So, oh, that's me talking. Let's see how I sound. Okay. Lisa, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
What was your question, Lisa, about the book?
You were trying to remember the name of a book. You were talking about The Dark Night of the Soul. I remember Thomas More, and he talked about The Dark Night of the Soul. And the title of the book is Care of the Soul.
That's not the book.
Okay.
I can't remember. It was actually a very good book. In the book, the guy was actually talking as if he was Jesus, looking at the world today. And it was almost as if he was channeling or he was mocking it up, but it was full of wisdom. And I can't remember. Let me see. It might come up because I do have it somewhere in my data bank, but I'm not sure where it is. But can't remember. But in any case, it wasn't The Dark Night of the Soul. There's a lot of books out on The Dark Night of the Soul. Mm-hmm. And believe me, you know, I mean, I'll give you an example. When I first got into all of this, I mean, when I say first, I mean, when I first discovered David Wilcock, and when I first had a reading from David Wilcock, which I did because I wanted to check out how his sources resonated with me. And I remember they said to me, there would be times I would, see, I'm going to admit this to you all. There would be times I would look in the mirror and I would look like Frankenstein. And I understood what they were saying, because in order to do this, I had to release so many things. Another time, I think with Daphne, they said I was going through releasing the karma of 27 lifetimes. And I don't know what they all are, but nonetheless, I kind of understood it, and that it's been a work in progress for me to be able to hold the energy of this. And that it's, you know, I could never in my wildest dreams imagine that I could do this. But, you know, there were times when I looked like Frankenstein. And even today, I tell some people, sometimes I get up and there's things I'm working through my system. And I'd rather not go outside because I hope nobody sees me. And then there's other times when I look absolutely great. You know, some of you know those patterns. And, how do you cope with them? How do you cope? You know, I cope on days that I'm not looking good. I just stay home. The problem is I'm doing 3 conference calls a week, so I can't hide from you guys. We're all in a processing together, and it's okay because it speeds up the process. It allows us to be who we are and release things. Thank you, Lisa. Anyone else want to share anything on this? Have any of you had the experience of understanding what I mean by processing?
Probably.
Probably?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Lisa.
Lisa. Lisa, you're the only one that's, you're the only one that's talkative tonight, okay?
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah, let's see. It has to do with my health situation, but because of my health, physical health situation, I ended up going into a very deep depression when I didn't know what depression was. I had no understanding that it was a medical condition, and for 7 years, I just sort of walked around thinking. Later on, I thought of myself as having walked around having a dignified nervous breakdown because nobody on the outside of me ever saw anything strange. I had one moment with one friend, and he said, "Gee, you're so cold, unusually cold and distant," and I couldn't help him. I couldn't help myself in the moment, and that was it. Inside, oh, I mean, the dark night of the soul is just something that I really came to understand. So for 7 years, I walked around, you know, just thinking I was failing at life. And not telling anybody, when it finally came out with a doctor, that, "Do you think you're depressed?" And I was still hearing the word depressed in some layman's terms. And I said, "How ridiculous. Of course I'm depressed." You know, but the horrors that I was going through in my mind, I would have never guessed that I would go through. Because my plan was to be a very together person, you know, from the time I was growing up.
And finally, I found out there was a medical cause, and what it meant is that I was deficient in certain hormones, and I needed just to replace them. I finally got on medication and on the right dose, and it turned out I started normalizing and having the understanding that it was not me that was failing. You know, there was something missing inside of my body. I would say with the thousands of thoughts and racing thoughts and, you know, suddenly being afraid to be alone when I always could be alone. And all these things that I went through gave me so much insight to life, so much. And I feel like I made a journey that I had to make where I lost faith in just about everything. I just totally lost faith only to finally build it back. So, I mean, obviously, I could write a book about it, but I don't take the time, the rest of the time here.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And one thing I would like to say about this idea of catalyzation is that if I have my understanding correctly, at no time in the history of mankind has there been the potential for working through things faster than right now. That if you can move through the fear of letting things come up, if you can move through it, you'll move through it faster now just because you create that intention. And that's because of this shift. Faster than any time in the history of all your lifetimes here, actually, if I understand it correctly. But the key is, it may not happen by itself without you making the serious commitment to work it through. And the serious commitment to start looking for the God, the Creator, in everyone, as Ra would say. I think what I'd like to do is, we have a little time left, and that is call in the light. Terry, are you there, Terry? Hello, Terry.
I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
Could we bring in a little short message on this topic?
Just a minute. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Is anyone in the kitchen? Are you in a
No, nobody's in the kitchen. Yeah.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and each person on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And while I have this moment of togetherness, communion, I just want to send this energy in particularly to Los Angeles, surrounding Los Angeles in a protective shield of energy and loving energy coming to the surface of that city. I'd like to send the same thing to the entire planet, but focused on Los Angeles. I'd also like to send it to Carla Ruckert in the hospital right now. mine who are having issues they're working through, health issues or any kind of issue. And I'll turn it over to our sources to comment on the topic of today.
Thank you. We look at this question. We greet you in the love light of one infinite creator. This is Ra'an, and we are with you this day in April, the 29th of April, 2013. And we look at the information you have posed, and we look at the derivation of the word catalytic, and we see that it is a catalyst, something that can quicken a reaction, can quicken a change. We see that life often acts as a catalyst towards change. If one is headed in the wrong direction, life quickly lets you know that you cannot go in that direction. There is a joke that the drivers on the road tend to be the ones that have learned the lessons of the road, and they are, if they don't learn the lessons of the road, they get eliminated pretty quickly and are no longer in the driver's pool. That is a quick look at how life can teach you lessons. What is it that allows you to live harmoniously and to survive? It is a knowledge of how to harmoniously use the resources around you and to get along with other people so that your life, which is connected with all those around you, and they contribute and you contribute to them, so that your life is a lesson in how to move forward and how to grow. Thank you.
Thank you. You know what? We have 2 minutes left. And by the way, if you're listening to this and you didn't listen to this Sunday's Grid Healing, I highly recommend you go to thespiritchannel.net, www.thespiritchannel.net, and download it and listen to it. It's kind of a good one to keep on record. I got a number of emails saying that the energy was extremely good on that call, and I think it was, but I don't trust my own decision-making on that. When I get a bunch of people emailing me, I think it's probably true. And, you know, one of the ways to turbo thrust through your lower energies is to absorb the energies of a call like Sunday. Play it often. That does not mean it takes the place of living your life. You're here to experience this life. You're here to experience things. You experience people. Experience intimacy, if that's in, you know, part of your path. But the lifting your vibration into the space of the Sunday calls, Sunday calls in particular, which are emphasizing that, are a really valuable tool, really valuable. And, you know, many times people put out meditation tapes and all kinds of stuff, don't even begin to touch the frequency that we bring in on our Sunday call. And just because we give it away for free, it doesn't mean it's not valuable. It's extremely valuable. We give it away for free because that this work is so important to people, and they don't know that it's important. They kind of have to discover it by going inside of it. And I'm not going to stop anyone from that discovery. Of course, not because we don't need money, because we do. And sooner or later, we'll run another blast on our pendants so you can remember Mother's Day gifts and gifts for everybody. We do it before Mother's Day. So when you do that, it really, really helps us think of somebody to give a present to. And someday I'm going to have Intelligent-Infinity printed on the back of the pendants. But in any case, I thank you all so much for being here, for making this real, for letting us touch you. I thank Terry for being such a trooper, and Daphne for starting, being there at the beginning and starting everything, and all the people that are volunteering. And by the way, we need some more transcribers. If you are a transcriber, send me an email. Let me know. We have like a three-stage process, so you don't have to be perfect because we have a final editing process by somebody who's really good at English. But let me know if you happen to be really good at English. Let me know how many hours a week you have to spend. And if you're somebody that's retired or happens to be bedridden, this is a great way to create great value for people without having to leave your house. You know, as of this afternoon, we had 24,000 hits on the Spirit Channel. So people are most definitely using it. And it's like a free university of the higher realms. We have hundreds of our calls on it. And due to the volunteer efforts of a number of people. So I thank everybody who's volunteering. I thank Gary and Bogdan who are helping send the emails out. And I thank all of you for paying attention and making it real. And at 6:57, I got you unmuted. Here we are. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Wiz.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank
good
you,
night.
Guys. You're the best.
Thank you, Terry.
Your conference recording has stopped.